Let us now go to the throne of all grace in our prayer. Our faithful God in heaven, we indeed bless your holy name, for you have made a covenant between you and your people. And Father, we thank you that we are partakers in that grace, that we have that close relationship with you, that bond that never will be broken. Father, you come with your great promises of your nearness, of your grace and mercy, your love and the forgiveness, and above all, comfort. Comfort that we need in our lives, strength that you continue to uphold us by your power and mercy. Father, your covenant comes indeed with many promises, but also with demands. That we continue to come to you. And that we also empty ourselves. That we do not come with anything of ourselves on our own. But that we let ourselves fill with your grace and mercy. That indeed we hunger and thirst after your nearness, as we also have expressed in our singing. Oh, Father, grant us that rest and peace in our life, a life that can be sometimes also very, very hectic, confusing, and difficult. Father, grant that we let ourselves be guided by your word, and that we then also ourselves continue to administer to one another that grace and mercy that you have given through Christ Jesus, our Lord. For he is our complete Savior. And that we also assure one another, and let us be assured that everything is covered. That you have done all things in our lives. So we can live as your covenant children, pleasing unto you. Heavenly Father, grant that to each one of us, and that through this, your name is praised and honored, as we also may hear this afternoon. Guide us by your Holy Spirit. Prepare us, O Lord, that we may listen to your word, and also if that word is administered to us and applied to us, that we humble ourselves and submit to that word, and live indeed a life that is pleasing unto you. Strengthen us, therefore, speaking and listening, that we may continue to live a life in worship and praise, totally dependent on you, furthering the coming of your kingdom in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. This afternoon, our scripture reading is taken from Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 3, verse 1 through to 17. Let us now read God's word as it comes to us in Colossians 3. If, then, you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another. Even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. That's for the reading of God's word. In this afternoon sermon, we will study God's word, especially as it comes to us through Lord's Day 33 on true repentance and conversion. Let us read this part of our confession, the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 33. Question 88 asks what is involved in genuine repentance or conversion. The answer is two things: the dying away of the old self and the coming to life of the new. What is the dying away of the old self? It is to be genuinely sorry for sin, to hate it more and more, and to run away from it. What is the coming to life of the new self? It is wholehearted joy in God through Christ, and a delight to do every kind of good as God wants us to do. What do we do that is good? Only that which arises out of true faith, conforms to God's law, and is done for his glory, and not that which is based on what we think is right or on established human tradition. After the sermon, a response to God's word, we will sing the other stanzas of Song 164, stanzas 5, 6, 7. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, on February the 15th, I was privileged to preach here on 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13 through to 18. And as we heard that time, in that passage of God's word, we read about the uplifting message of the great reunion. We heard that at the appearing of Christ, we won't be confronted with the pain of death anymore. For at Christ's appearance, all God's people on earth and from heaven, they will be reunited on the clouds with the Lord and with one another. Then God's people, his elect, his chosen ones, will live on the new earth together forever in glory. Concerning this, an important question is, who then will participate in that great event? You indeed will understand that this is an important question. And beloved, that should not be just a curious question. It should be an urgent one for all of us every day. It is a question that should determine what we do and what we don't do. Now, this question, who will participate in the great events around Christ's appearance, that question, you know, receives a crystal clear answer. For many, many passages in God's Word speak to that participation of the redeemed. Those people who live to the praise of God will share in his glory. Even a quick look at our scripture passage from Colossians 3 this afternoon will confirm our participation. You Colossians, the Apostle Paul says in verse 1, immediately I can say, you members of Winnipeg Providence United Reformed Church. The Holy Spirit now says here in church, he says, you have been raised with Christ. And also look at verse 4. When Christ, who is alive, take note, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So Paul says, you are the participants in Christ's glory. Everything is done for you. Yes, beloved, for that great reunion the Lord has and is still preparing everything for us. Everything for us. But not without us. Never forget, in Christ we are participants. Well, if you are participants in something, then you need to be active. Dead and listless participants are not participating. In fact, we know that the Lord will close the door on them. But that won't happen, Paul indicates, when you truly, genuinely live as the redeemed of the Lord. So the apostle's purpose is to give a clear instruction on how to live as God's redeemed in view of Christ's appearing. And look now at which high note he ends that passage we read this afternoon for 17. And whatever you do, there's an activity, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. No wonder, beloved, that our Heidelberg Catechism takes Colossians 3 as one of its many proof texts. Here for Lord's Day 33. A section that explains the life of the redeemed in genuine repentance or conversion. And this brings us to the theme of this afternoon. I may serve you with God's word as follows. Live your redeemed life to the praise of God's glory. A redeemed life then shows genuine repentance or conversion by first an inward and outward change, secondly by Christ's resurrection power, and at the third place by a constant struggle. Live your redeemed life to the praise of God's glory. Our redeemed life shows true repentance or conversion, first by an inward and outward change. Congregation, brothers and sisters, young and old, the Heidelberg Catechism has a well-thought-out pattern of teaching. A catechism doesn't merely pick its topics at random. All its previous instruction is leading up to what we have read and what we studied that afternoon in Lord's Day 33. Just look at the previous Lord's Day 32. Its question 86 points to the clear line in its teaching. For there the three parts of our redemption are referred to as knowing our misery, being delivered from sin and misery by grace alone through Christ, and then also in the third place, showing our thankfulness. How? By a godly way of life, doing good works. And so then question 87 points to a terrifying truth as well. Don't skip that. The door of salvation is shut for those who do not turn to God from their ungrateful and impenitent walk of life. In fact, Scripture says that no unchaste person, idolater, adulterer, thief, no covetous person, drunkard, slanderer, robber, or the like. Nowadays, we can and should also add to this drug users, etc. Those people shall not inherit the kingdom of God. They are turned away. Not so with those who turn to God in genuine repentance or conversion. And therefore, for the sake of our participation in the great reunion, it is of utmost importance that we continue to study and live, even that is more important, live the life of Lord's Day 33. It's important, is highlighted through the many Bible references for our godly walk as the Lord's redeemed. You know, the application of this life is further on explained in the ongoing parts of the Catechism in Lord's Day 34 all to the end, Lord's Day 52. But this afternoon, our focus is on what the life of the participants of the great reunion should show. Well, our Heidelberg Catechism describes our redeemed life as a life of repentance. It also uses another word, conversion. And our turn to the Lord must be genuine. That must be a true turning to the Lord, not hypocritical. So, beloved, the two words, repentance and conversion, clearly indicate this, that the gospel of grace should not come to us in vain. In God's word and church, we hear, if you cater to your own sinful self, if you feed the needs of your sinful nature, then you will not be saved. Then you will not participate in a great reunion. And so, beloved, stop. Stop on the sinful track. The next thing is, don't just stand still. Don't stand there without any movements at all, doing nothing. No, we have to turn and to move again. But then in a totally different direction, into a God-pleasing direction. All what is said so far makes clear that we are participants in establishing the new creation. And that's why the Lord stops us in our own tracks to run in his tracks the good race of faith. Yet, beloved, to change our ways into a holy life is not a small matter. It is not just a little thing. For what must be done? We have heard something about it this afternoon in scripture reading, Colossians 3. We heard Paul say, put to death your whole sinful self and clothe yourselves with the holy life of love and peace. Such a change is a radical change, beloved. And that change involves then an inward and an outward change. And that's what our Heidelberg Catechism expresses by the uses, by the words repentance and conversion. The change is this, that we start thinking differently about the purpose of our life. That we get a different take on how to fill our lives. That we get a different perspective about the end of our life and of many other life's matters. We get other desires. Our hearts, they beat for other things. Our feelings are governed by other emotions. You see, in this way, our true covenant walk shows an inward change. That is the reason why our catechism speaks, on the one hand, about the grief with heartfelt sorrow, also hatred of sin. You see, in heart and soul, we turn away from sin. And on the other hand, it states the heartful joy in God, delight in him. This is why you turn to God. Grief, sorrow, hatred, joy, love, all those things belong to the movements of our heart and soul, of our inward life. They are expressions of our longings and emotions. Change regarding our walk with God also concerns an outward change, we said. That we act and speak differently. We show a new manner of life. In relation to this, the catechism speaks about running away from sin. With question and answer 90, we confess that we live according to the will of God and doing all good. So just actively visible for everyone, turning away from, not participating in something that's a matter of outward life. That is a matter of outward life, I should say. Turning away from something, running away from something, people can see. Doing good, again, that becomes visible. People notice that. In other words, to live a redeemed life and praise to God is not something that we can keep secret. It should and it does show up. An example, if you are good in something, for example in music, that shows. You practice for it. And you want and you perform that, oh, sometimes with a lot of nerves, you're nervous, but you go for it. And people can hear it. So if you lead a thankful life, a life of praise, that too shows. You practice that. People can see and hear it. Remember what God's word tells us about Enoch and Noah and Abraham, many other people of the Lord in the Bible? These Old Testament children of God walked with him. And there was no secret to anyone that they served the holy God, that they lived to his praise. Now, with the statements, the dying away of the old self and the coming to new, to coming to life of the new self, beloved, the Catechism summarizes the biblical teaching concerning living our redeemed life to the praise of God, yes, but also it teaches us that we live the redeemed life in view of Christ appearing. Colossians 3 again. The call of the gospel and the Lord is, change your earthly mindset into a heavenly one. Have the mind of Christ. Change your worldly life into a godly life. Show the image of Christ. And do it before it is too late, excluding you from participation in that great event of Christ's return in glory. And yet the pressing question regarding this radical change involving just a total change of life, who can do that? And how can we do that? Are we able to make such a total turnaround? From walking on our own sinful ways to walking on the holy way of God? And this question brings us to our second point. Our redeemed life shows Christ's power. Rather, it shows Christ's resurrection power. Beloved, how, for example, must we keep our tongue in check so that we do not blaspheme God? But praise him. How can we guard our lips so that we do not gossip about or slander one another, but that we comfort and lift each other up? How must we perform our work so that it indeed is priestly work for a blessing and for the well-being of our neighbor? How must we move our hands? How must we direct our feet in order that they work for the coming of God's kingdom, working towards Christ appearing? How do we put to death whatever belongs to our earthly self? How do we clothe ourselves with that, with the virtues of Christ that we read in Colossians 3? The apostle impresses, Paul impresses upon us that we clothe ourselves with tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with each other, and forgiving one another. You see, the image of the Lord Jesus Christ just jump out of this passage, Colossians 3. Forgiving one another if anyone has a complaint against another, whatever grievances we may have against another. Even as the Lord, there you see, the Lord also indeed mentioned, forgave you. So you also must do. And over all that, put on true love to work unity and to strengthen the spiritual bonds with one another. Pressing question here is, beloved, how high is the spiritual level within Christ's congregation here in Providence? The questions are asked to us. How much do you enjoy in going to church? Is that a great joy to you? Attending church, worshiping the Lord? How do you encourage and correct each other? How is your participation in Bible study? Furthermore, brothers and sisters, young and old, how far have we adapted ourselves to the styles of the world around us? Yes, how much do we like to feed our sinful flesh so that we are in danger of falling into the categories of persons mentioned in question and answer 87, Lord's Day 32, of an unchaste person, an idolater, an adulterer, a thief, a covetous person, a drunkard or a slanderer, a robber or the like? Our covenant God in His Word, that is His command, His covenant command, walk before me and be blameless, be straight. Our young people would say that, be straight. And but we have difficulty, great difficulty to express the joy of our faith and our Christian love to each other and our neighbor. We often keep our inner feelings, emotions, and intentions under a tight lid. We shy away from being fully open to one another. And to outsiders, we aren't an open book either. And you know, we just cannot blame that attitude of our closeness to our natural descent and our character. We have heard we have to change. For we confess to be God's redeemed people. And as such people, we have the call to participate in the great reunion. And we have that call as an invitation in our pocket, so to speak. Should we keep it there? Should we keep that glorious message a secret? Well, that's impossible. For here in church, the Lord reminds us through the proclamation of His Word, of preaching, He reminds us, He reminds you of that great news. In fact, every Sunday again. And so the Lord Himself, He shakes us awake by His powerful preaching, so that we cannot just keep His Word and promises in our pocket. And so, beloved, here we find the answer to the question how the total turnaround in our life is possible. God's powerful love in Christ is the secret. Through the gospel, He works at our hard heart and makes it as soft as a sponge. And that's a power as marvelous and miraculous as creation power. That is indeed resurrection power. God's Spirit blows over that which was radically dead and is becoming fully alive and kicking. That's what we confess in Canons of Dort, chapter 3, 4, 12. There we clearly confess that all the power, strength, and possibilities which are available to us, they come from above. And by them, we are changed. And so we make the turn to the obedient life unto the Lord as a redeemed, to live unto God's praise. You see, Christ is our power and strength. Through His resurrection power, we put our sinful self to death. And in word and in deed, we live the redeemed life to the praise of God. As Paul says, in singing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs with gratitude in our hearts to God. God has given His Spirit, and He directs our hands and feet so that we do the good that's pleasing to God and that we live a holy life. You know, then the Spirit who lives in us sanctifies our tongue. And that Spirit gives us, so to speak, a mouth wash, so that our language is clean. Oh, beloved congregation, terrible thought, but it is possible. If such a life is not ours, then we simply are not redeemed. Then we are still lost in our sins. Unless God renews us and we repent in the power of Christ, and so then cry out to God, pray to Him that He may work and establish and continue to give you the new life through Christ Jesus our Lord. For our congregation, through Christ's word, as we heard, heavenly power is again working in us at this very moment, calling us to our redeemed life, to the praise of God's glory. Oh, do not love the world. It is already said at our very baptism, at the beginning of our life, in covenant with God and with one another. Do not love the world, but put off your old self and lead a God-fearing life. You too, young people, youth of the church, always think of your baptism that also belongs to Christ's resurrection power. Christ is our Savior, and with Him we find that earth-moving power of changing our lives into godly lives. And yes, in all our life with the Lord, in our church life, family life, in our personal life, we cannot be listless and we should not be unguarded. We must constantly fight the movements of our old nature, our old man. And so we have come to the last point. Our redeemed life must show a constant battle. You know, and you must know, it should also speak to the hearts of our young people and children here in church. Our old self, our old nature, won't get killed by one gunshot. It won't get killed by one bullet. No. God deemed it wise to let our old nature die a slow death process. In this way, our sovereign God treats us as responsible children. For in His love and grace, He is doing everything for us, but you know, not without us. He saves us and forgives our sins. He renews us and brings us to glory. But at the same time, He says to us, do this and do that. Be blameless in walking on my ways. And through His apostles, He gives us rules for holy living. Take off your old self and put on your new self, which, Colossians 3 again, see verse 10, is being renewed in knowledge in the image of the Creator. Live to the praise of God's glory. In Scripture, we also read, be thirsty and hungry. The Lord Jesus Himself says it also in His teaching. Be thirsty and hungry for the righteousness in Christ, putting on your new nature. And precisely here our struggle comes in. You know, our old self is like Adam. But we are still thirsty and hungry for the forbidden things. And the danger is that, and often the reality is, We have to admit it. We have to be honest to ourselves. The reality is that we just don't nibble at the forbidden things. For our flesh, our sinful flesh enjoys them. And our sinful flesh likes to grab them. As we said, our old nature isn't killed with one gunshot. So how then must we kill the old self? Beloved, we must starve our old nature to death. We must block that. We must tie up its evil flow. And that causes exactly a fierce battle. That we stop feeding and satisfying our evil desires to please ourselves. We must do something totally different, as you will understand. Exactly what we do here this afternoon. That we feed on God's word and promises and live to His praise. You see, the old nature must not be our companion because it is our enemy. And when we don't give food to our enemy, then it becomes weaker and weaker and weaker, and so it will die. The new self is our surrender to Christ. That I, through Christ as we have seen, that we indeed stop the demands of our sinful nature and that we begin to live to all God's commandments. A congregation that struggles between the old and the new, it lasts our whole life. It already starts from childhood. The blows and the pains of our spiritual battle are clearly felt, especially when we are teenagers. And our present teenagers in church also know all about that fierce battle in our life, that spiritual battle. By nature, they want to go their own ways. They try to think, they try to taste the things around them. Yes, the worldly life with its amusement cult and modern trends is very attractive. And the lifestyle of the pop idols, they are easily taken over. For beloved and teenagers, young people, that's the lifestyle of our old self. And a lot of time is given for those earthly things. And they are so readily available on a modern communication means. Now the younger generation can also witness that their parents and the older generation are often busy with their own things too, rather than with the heavenly things of Christ. The old self speaks, for example, when we as church members comment on the church life and church service as old-fashioned. Or that's so boring. That dissatisfaction is shown. But beloved, on what do we actually feed? What is it that gives us satisfaction? You know, in our lives, we may enjoy a lot of free time. And that brings me to a question. Who of us, in 1 year, reads and feeds on the whole Word of God, the Bible? And who of us takes his or her time really to prepare for the Sunday worship services with God's Word, opening God's Word? That's not only the task of the minister or the elders and office bearers, it's a task of the redeemed and preparation of Christ appearing. And that we do so with ardent prayer. More and more, we understand that all of us, young and old and young, we have to get rid of the old desires, pleasing self, that we have to set our mind on Christ. And therefore that we have to starve our old self to death. That we have to block our own longings. Repent. Turn to the source of life and satisfy yourself with its abundant goodness and strength. And yes, God be praised, congregation. Now that happens among us too. This way we see a lot of doing good and true faith according to God's will and to His praise. We see a lot of good. Also among our young people, we may observe participation and involvement in church life. That they are examples to others. And that they pray the Lord for help and direction in their lives. And beloved, it could well be that our youngsters spend more time feeding on God's word and promises than adults do. For you know, our young people have Bible readings at home. They attend weekly catechism classes. They participate in Bible study. They follow Bible courses at our Christian schools. And with all that focus on God's Word, then they also pray for the Lord's blessings in their lives. Now when we have grown up, that intensive feeding on God's word, that should even become more intensive. And you know what it leads up to. And doing so, then we will starve our old self to death. Yet, in this life, we keep experiencing that it remains a hard battle to do that. And that fight makes us humble, that we ask the Lord for His guidance and strength. And we hear the Lord speaking, never give up and never give in to your old self. Put on your new self. And it is new and redeemed life, showing a radical change, showing Christ's resurrection power, showing indeed a constant struggle. The true meaning of our life is recognized, that we live to the praise of God's glory. Indeed, beloved, from our believing and godly life, then it spontaneously will appear that we indeed are feeding on God's word. This life of repentance and conversion makes us ready and prepared for our participation in the great reunion event at Christ's coming on the clouds of heaven. At the end, I once more remind you what we read in Colossians 3, what we read there, the apostle says, all what we have to do in view of the appearing of Christ our Lord. Continue to prepare on that. And we block our old nature and our old self with a prayer as we find in Psalm 86, Psalm 164. Help me, thy will to do. Thy truth I will pursue. Teach me to fear. Give me the single eye. Thy name to glorify, O Lord, my God, most high, with heart sincere, genuine repentance and conversion, turning so in true repentance and conversion to your God and to the praise of God's glory. Amen.